We had a bit of a miracle occur in the Colgan household this morning. We get up early before I head up to church, and we open all our family, just immediate family presents, and an absolute miracle occurred. I don't worry, we're not having another child or anything like that. The miracle was that I got the most presents. I don't think that has happened in, I don't know, since we've had kids. So there you go. There was some upset about that until they realised my presents weren't as good as theirs. So, but there you are. That's Christmas. Well, let's pray before we look at the greatest story ever told. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the wonderful joy of Christmas. We thank you for this time to spend time with friends and family, to encourage one another, to just enjoy one another's company. But we pray and thank you most of all for the news of Christmas, that you did not leave us in darkness, but instead sent your Son into the world to be our Saviour. And so we pray, as we look at this story that so many of us know very well already, that you'll encourage us yet again by just how wonderful this news is. In Jesus' name, amen. When our kids were born, it was about 20 years ago that our eldest was born. It was a very different world to now, especially in how you announce the arrival of your children. Back then, you just rang two or three friends, and they rang two or three friends, and, you know, news got passed around that you'd had a baby, and his name was this, and that sort of business. You did put a notice in the newspaper. Newspapers are these things you buy and open. But then I asked Victoria, and actually, we only put a notice in the newspaper for Sam. So, sorry, girls, you never got a notice in the newspaper. But it was much more low-key back then. Not today. These days, I mean, clearly we were not excited enough about our children compared to people today. I'd never heard of these things, but today you have a gender reveal party. Victoria and Avril were telling me about these during the week. So a gender reveal party, I've never been invited, you'll be surprised to know, but reveal party is where you invite everyone around, and then the basic level one is you have pink or blue balloons ready to let out to know that you're having a girl or a boy. But apparently if you look on YouTube, or for the even better ones, TikTok, which I won't be able to find, so that's okay. One of the best ones was these people got all their friends to wear a white T-shirt, and they gave them all water pistols, and the water pistols had dye the colour of pink or blue, whatever. I haven't seen it, so you know what I mean. And so they all shot each other, and then, oh, it's all blue, it's a boy, or it's all pink. If it wasn't so sad, the best or worst one of all, it would be incredibly funny if it wasn't so sad. Apparently it's really common to use fireworks for your gender reveal. So a little fireworks in the colour. But apparently there is now a couple in California who are facing 30 criminal charges, because their fireworks at their gender reveal started the worst bushfire or whatever it is in Californian history. How terrible is that? Here it was, this happy occasion, and that's how they revealed it. Now, I'm not a great social media person, but if people go to that length for the gender reveal, what do they do on Instagram and Facebook when they have a baby? I don't know. I don't look at these things, but you can tell me afterwards. But whatever people do, they will never be able to outdo the announcement that we saw acted out by our very professional narrators and our not-so-professional actors before. The arrival of the heavenly hosts. You know, you can give me your balloons and fireworks, but give me a heavenly host of angels any day. That is how the birth of Jesus was announced. So come with me to Luke chapter 2. The passage is printed on your outline. I'd love you to follow along. As I said, I'm not going to retell the story. We had that done for us before. But here are Mary and Joseph. They've been told by an angel of the Lord that they're having a miracle baby. God himself, by the Holy Spirit, has miraculously put this child in Mary. And the angel had told them they must give the child this name, Jesus, which from the beginning tells us what this story is about. His name means God saves. And so as Mary and Joseph arrive in Bethlehem and the baby is coming, you can only imagine what they're thinking. We are having a child who is God's Saviour. What will this baby do? What will he do with his life? What will be the fanfare when he comes? This is God's Son and Saviour. The whole world, by rights, should be there to celebrate his arrival. But of course, that's the thing. No one was there. There was no room in the lodging place, and so God's King is born in obscurity. They wrap him in cloth, they lay him in a manger. You get the feeling there was no grand announcement because there was no one there to hear the grand announcement. The only other people that were there would have been the other people who had gone to Bethlehem and couldn't find a room in the inn, people they wouldn't have known. Because this is part of the Christmas story. This baby is the Son of God. This baby is the Saviour of the world, but he comes not as a king, he comes in humility. He comes as a servant rather than to be served, as he would say later on. Later on as an adult, Jesus would say, for the Son of Man, that's what he called himself, did not come to be served but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. In Philippians chapter 2, the Apostle Paul talks about Jesus, and this is how he puts it. He says, Jesus did not consider equality with God as something to be grasped. Instead, he humbled himself. That humility, that lowering of himself, began at his birth. But if Mary and Joseph had no one to announce the birth to, God was not going to leave it unannounced. And so the story moves at verse 8. Come with me to verse 8. The scene shifts out to some shepherds minding their own business in a field outside Bethlehem. And here they are tending their sheep when suddenly, verse 9, then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. That is the normal response to angels, by the way. I think Bron did as good a job as an angel as I've ever seen done of an angel, but she was not terrifying. So this is the thing, we get an angel, we immediately think it's a woman, first of all, or usually a young child. We at least got an adult today. But that is not the angels of the Bible. The angels of the Bible strike fear into people. That is the consistent response. They are God's messengers. They come from the heavens, from God, to the earth, to share the glory of God. But these angels had not come to strike fear. They'd come to bring joy. Look at verse 10 again. It says, but the angel said to them, don't be afraid, for look, I proclaim to you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, a Saviour who is Messiah the Lord was born for you in the city of David. And then if you jump down to verse 13, look down there, it says there was a whole multitude of the heavenly hosts declaring God's praises. I don't actually think it's possible for us to imagine this scene. We cannot comprehend the glory of the heavenly host of angels coming from the heavens. You cannot beat this. There has never been an announcement like this one. And so what is it they declared? Look back with me at verses 10 and 11. They're the key verses for this morning. Firstly, it's news of great joy for all people. The coming of Jesus is the greatest news that has ever been announced. It's why we call it the gospel. That means good news. I mean, it's wonderful when you hear your friend has had a baby. You say, praise God, you've had a child. But really, it makes no difference to the world. The parents think it does, but it doesn't. This is more than that. This is different. This is news of great joy for all people. Not just for the parents, not just even for Jewish people, not just for religious people. This news is for everyone. And why is that? It's because of who Jesus is. The angels gave the baby Jesus three titles. Look at verse 11. Firstly, the Saviour. Second, the Messiah or the Christ. And thirdly, the Lord. So firstly, Jesus is the Saviour of all people. The Bible is very clear that all people's greatest need is forgiveness of sin. Forgiveness for the way we've treated God. Forgiveness for the way we've treated one another. Well, Jesus came to bring that forgiveness, what the Bible calls salvation. He saves us from our sin, from our guilt, and ultimately from the condemnation of God. And of course, if you read on in the story, you know that Jesus saves us through his death. That's where he took the punishment we deserved. So Jesus came to be our Saviour, first of all. Secondly, it says Jesus is the Messiah, or you might know it more commonly as the Christ. It just means the Anointed One. For over 1,000 years, the Old Testament had said time and time again, God will send an Anointed One, a Saviour King who will fulfill all of my promises. So the angel is saying that baby is the promised Messiah. And then thirdly, the angel said, Jesus is the Lord. These shepherds could not even contemplate this at this point. I don't think Mary and Joseph had even grasped it yet. But this baby is the Lord. This is the Son of God come into the world. And so what an announcement. Just imagine the shock. for those shepherds in that field. And then what do? When you get news like that, will you act on it? What would you do if you were them? They drop everything. They rush over the mountain or over the hillside to Bethlehem to see this baby, and they find everything exactly how the angels told them it would be. And what do? Look at verse 17. It says, after seeing them, they reported the message they were told about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. See, the thing is, you cannot keep news like this to yourself. They told everyone else who was there, this baby is the Saviour. He is the Messiah. He is the Lord. And then what else could they do but praise God? Look at verse 20. It says, the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had seen and heard, just as they had been told. And that is the thing with the message of Christmas. That is the thing with the great news about Jesus. If you grasp it and believe it, it will change you. If you grasp it and believe it, it must change you, because from that point on, the only right response is to live to praise Jesus. That's the only right thing to do with this news. That's why we're here today, to declare his praises. And so I hope you have a wonderful Christmas. I hope you have a joyful time with your family and friends. I hope you get what you wanted from under the Christmas tree within reason. But my prayer for you, my real desire for you, is that you truly know this wonderful news. That's my prayer. And that you take the time, not just today, but every day, to declare the praises of the Lord Jesus, who is the Saviour of the world. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the wonderful news of Christmas, that you sent your Son into the world to be our Saviour, to be the Messiah, and to be the Lord. And so we pray, like the shepherds, that we will grasp that wonderful news and then live to declare his praises. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.